The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everybody. Stoner Jesus Show live. As you know, Halloween is almost upon us, and we here at the Stoner Jesus Show, we absolutely love Halloween. It's a wonderful holiday, and we'd like to bring you a lot of tips for Halloween, and who knows more about Halloween, or the things you should do to celebrate Halloween than our very own St. Peter? I don't know. I don't know of anyone who knows more or who is better prepared to coherently transmit these ideas to you than St. Peter.
Yeah.
I think that's the best intro for this shit I've ever done. Peter,
was it bad,
the
Jesus?
List? What the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
Homemade Halloween treats.
That's right.
It says here, these would be Halloween treats, I guess, that you would give out to the children.
Yeah, that's right.
Who were trick-or-treating.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds good. I've not seen this list yet.
Yeah.
For some reason you thought it would be better not to show it to me.
Don't worry about it.
I don't care.
Don't worry about it, Jesus.
I don't care if I'm surprised. I don't care what you say. As a matter of fact, just give us your list of homemade Halloween treats for the listeners. Hit it, jackass.
Well, don't call me jackass, asshole.
Go.
Anyway, you get a big ball of Easter candy, like leftover Easter candy, and you leave it sitting in your car for like months and months. And then you get it out of your car, and it's all like melted together or whatnot. And it's called an Easter ball. Easter ball for candy.
Sounds
for Halloween.
Disgusting.
No, it's good.
That sounds awful. As I'm sure all of these are disgusting.
Man.
Hit me with the next one, yo.
Oh, anyway, you get a line of Coke and a Red Bull. And it's called a heart blowjob. Coke and Red Bull, it's called a heart blowjob. Jesus, what are you looking at me that for?
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it? It's a blowjob for the heart. It's Coke and Red Bull.
Oh.
Like a cocaine. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, man.
Come
Go on.
Oh, yeah, okay. You can get a crucifix and you just shove it down in a jar of peanut butter. And then you can, like, tell the kids to, find Jesus. Here's your peanut butter. Find Jesus.
Yeah. I get it. You know, Peter.
Wait.
You know very well, Peter, that I don't like talking about crucifixes or crosses or things of that nature. It gives me the willies. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Crosses are
I don't
awesome.
Want to talk about it.
Like, what do you like crosses and crucifixes?
Shut up,
Jesus.
Man. Shut up. Stop
awesome.
It. Stop it.
Stop
I'll
it,
turn off
pussy.
Your fucking microphone, yo.
You fucking pussy.
I'll turn off your microphone.
Crosses and crucifixes.
She gives me chills. Stop it, motherfucker.
Crucifixes.
Move on to the next
and crosses.
One.
Crosses. Oh, anyway.
Dumbass.
Man, don't fucking.
I'll punch you.
Don't
I'll
fucking punch me, dude.
I will straight up punch you, son.
Hey,
don't
you don't threaten me. Crosses.
Don't fuck with me. What the hell does that mean?
Fucking idiot.
I was going to say, don't fucks with me. It was sounding much more authoritative.
Not really.
Never mind. Just fucking go, man. You got me all discombobulated over here now. You're weirding me out. Just stop it and just fucking go.
Discombobulate. Anyway, we got a. You can make a hollow cake in the shape of a penis and call it a Halloween.
Ah.
Halloween.
That was actually pretty funny.
Penis cake.
Okay, you may have redeemed yourself a little bit, Peter.
All right.
We got any more?
Yeah, one more. You get a Starburst and put some MDMA in it and you call it CeeLo Peeps. CeeLo Peeps.
Okay, that was not bad either.
Yeah.
Very pop culture.
You tried to drug that
current
girl.
Event a reference
with Molly.
Way to go, Peter.
Okay.
Just don't fucking talk about the crosses, man. You know what I'm saying?
Don't fucking wig out, man.
You know that pisses me off.
Don't fucking wig out, man. Calm down.
I had a very bad experience once with a cross, and I don't want to relive those things.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Jesus Christ on a fucking
God
cross.
Damn.
God damn is right.
Anyway. That was St. Peter's list of homemade Halloween treats. You can make them all yourself, I guess, with different homemade items or things
good.
You can purchase.
It was good.
And then put them in something else in your home, I'm guessing.
It's good enough. Close enough, Jesus.
Anyway, go do all those things. Fuck it. Fuck it. Just go do all of those things. They all sound great.
Do it.
Hand them out to the kids. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Don't we live in a wonderful world?
It's a wonderful world to me.
Got St. Peter on here giving advice to people.
What's that supposed to mean?
Come on.
Come on what?
Peter, you're...
I'm what? What am I?
Never mind. I don't want to get into it.
Come on.
I don't want to get into it.
Pussy.
More comedy and music.
Fucking pussy.
Coming up. Make sure you're safe on Halloween, bitches. Stoner Jesus Show Live. We'll be back.
Pussy.
Stoner.
You can put your weed in there.
Check this out.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can put your weed in there.
This is the Stoner Jesus Show on CannabisRadio.com.
It's Mike Greg here, Poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Man, oh, man.
You're gay. There's no fags in the church.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. Don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well. But words are my shit. Yes, indeed. The words, they are my shit. Welcome, everybody. Stoner Jesus Show, Chapter 1, Verse 11. Recording the podcast on September 23rd, 2017. For those of you listening on audio, the audio podcast for free, welcome. We'll be on stonerjesus.net or cannabisradio.com or on many other platforms, including Stitcher and iTunes. Search Stoner Jesus on any of those platforms. If you're watching the video version of the show, hello. It means you're a patron. On patreon.com/stonerjesus420, get the video version of the show if you don't have it. $5 a month, get all the chapter and verse, full shows, video, audio, the whole nine yards. You do the split screens and play the videos. You can see everything and watch everything along with us. Plus, you see how cool I look. My backwards hat today. That's right. Thuggin'. Thuggin' hard. See, that's the kind of shit you're missing. If you want the video version of the show, support the show. Only $5 a month. Patreon.com/StonerJesus420. And this is Chapter 1, Verse 11. We've attempted to do Chapter 1, Verse 11 a few nights ago. Long story short, here was my idea. I was going to broadcast the first segment. We have three segments each show now. I was going to broadcast the first segment on Periscope, as well as record it like I'm doing now. Broadcast it live on Periscope. And after the first segment, cut the Periscope off and do the last two segments of the show for the video patrons, for the free audio people, all of that. I did all that. Our show was great. One of the best shows ever. I find out when I go to check the recording that whenever I start the recording, because you have to start the recording first. Then when I streamed to Periscope using Periscope Producer, the recording cut off. It didn't tell me it cut off. It's doing what it's doing right now. It's saying it's recording. It's got the timer going, all that shit. So what I found out is that I had 6 seconds. I had a 6-second video. So if you want to go to Periscope, it's Stoner Jesus 420. You can see the first segment. You'll hear the St. Peter Halloween trees thing again. Sorry about that, but you know, Halloween's coming up, and I wanted to get out to the audio listeners, so I played it again. I'm going to play St. Peter's voicemail again, too. You can see it in that Periscope video up at Stoner Jesus 420. I've also been playing clips of the show, clips I've posted on Facebook. Now I'm streaming them on Periscope as well. You can go check those out. I'm getting into the technology thing. It's I'm becoming a hardcore technology nerd. As opposed to being nerds of other sorts, types, or whatever. In any case, it did not go well. If you want to see the first segment, go check it up on Periscope. The last two segments, I did them. No one will ever hear them or see them because they weren't recorded. Some of it was about healthcare. I'm going to do a little bit more, something different about healthcare a little bit later. We're going to have weed news in this show, which we didn't do last show. Because I hate doing things over again. I'm not going to do it over again. It's just gone. It's it. Never to be seen again. Just like the St. Patrick's Day Massacre. Long-time listeners of the show know what that was. There's 12 hours of audio gone. I didn't save it. Nobody has a recording of it. I highly doubt anybody has a recording of it. Let's put it that way. It's gone. It's just gone. I did it. It's gone. So here I am again. Hopefully this is recording, or I don't know what I'm going to do. This is fucked. But I'm doing this the exact same way I did the first 10 shows we did this way. So this should work. And I've streamed before and recorded. I did it on Facebook, though. Maybe you can't do that on Periscope. Maybe if you cut off the Periscope stream, that wouldn't make any sense because it stopped recording when I started the Periscope stream. So I guess it don't work the same as Facebook. I really like the idea. The idea I had to do that with Periscope because we get a lot of interaction on Periscope. We get a lot of viewers. Unlike YouTube or Facebook. Facebook, I mean, we have like a couple hundred subscribers on YouTube, so that's obvious why. But Facebook,
We have over 15,000. And I can get more people on Periscope in 10 minutes than I can if I do a fucking 2-hour show on Facebook and leave the video up for a week. It still won't have as many views among the 15,000 plus on Facebook as it will among the 2,300 or so we have on Periscope. I understand that Twitter has a lot to do with that. But Twitter doesn't bump up the YouTube things when I post it on Twitter, so I don't know, maybe it's the combination of Periscope and Twitter, or you can just watch it right on Twitter. I don't know. The point is, I want to use that idea for Periscope. That's where it would work best, because that would get the live interaction for the first segment. People will see the first segment, they're like, hey, what's going on here? If they like what they hear about what's coming up in the next couple segments, then go check it out, get the video, listen to the free audio, whatever. It just didn't work. I'll try to figure it out, but for now, we'll do it this way. I'll record, post the audio, post the video for patrons, cut out video clips, and post them on Facebook and Periscope as a promotion for the show. We'll go from there. As I said, later in this show, weed news, and we'll talk some about healthcare, a little politics, because, you know, it's a weird time. It's a weird time. If you've been watching what's going on with Trump and Steph Curry and Kaepernick and Twitter, it's a weird fucking time. Every single day I wake up to people losing their shit over something Trump said or tweeted or both. Absolutely. Person after person, celebrities, regular people, all of them losing their shit. And then there would be a few people, you know, sprinkling in saying, yeah, go Trump. But it's most people losing their shit. Like, I can't believe he fucking did that. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's the worst motherfucking thing that anybody's ever done ever and ever in the fucking history of the world. I land somewhere in the middle. Trump's a fucking narcissist. He's unaware, as I've said many times before, of what he does not know, which is dangerous for somebody with that much power. I disagree with a lot of his ideas, in many, many areas. But the abject hysteria that people put into everything he does just dilutes it. It dilutes it and it distracts from the very real things. It's like people, like the boy who cried wolf, but in one day he cried wolf 20 times and the wolf came 6 or 7. Imagine day after day after day of that. It's the same. It works the same. And if you don't know the story of the boy who cried wolf, God, where the fuck have you been? Are you kidding me? Everybody knows that story. Literally everybody. Literally everybody knows that story. What the fuck are you doing? Speaking of what the fuck are you doing, St. Peter did leave us a voicemail updating us on what he's got going on. If you watched the Periscope video, then you know, you've heard it. But if you did not watch the Periscope video at Stern Jesus 420, when we attempted to do this show a few nights ago, then you get to hear it again, because it's very important. St. Peter's met him a woman. It's all romance is in the air. It's I was gonna say it's really good shit. I can't say that with a straight face. It's not really good shit, but it is St. Peter.
Hey Jesus, it's me, Peter. I want to call and leave you a voicemail. Let you know I've had a little snag in my plans of coming back to the studio. I've made a little stop. A little stopover. I think this is Tennessee. I'm not sure. Really haven't been paying attention. I hooked up with this chick. We'll call her Jane. Oh, fuck, that's a real name. We'll call her Betty. So anyway, me and Betty, we like shacked up, man. She's living in like a nursing home. It's a pretty cool setup. You know, she's got like a button, like if you need a nurse or whatever, and a lot of drugs, man. She's got a lot of the best drugs, like great, just terrific drugs. Jesus, you wouldn't. I mean, I'm amazed myself, you know, I take a lot of drugs, but man, she's got a lot of great drugs. I mean, just, there really aren't any words to describe how great and, numerous these drugs are. I know the jokes are coming, Jesus, you know, she's like old and whatever, and she's going to break her hip or whatnot. Well, first of all, I have you know that she's like only 74, she hasn't been in the nursing home for that long, and also she has two titanium hips. I mean, I can just pound that shit all night, Jesus, and she barely even feel it. In fact, she told me so. She's like, I mean, she says that so much, she's like, I can barely feel anything when you're pounding me. I can barely feel anything. You know, there's some good hips. Anyway, Jesus, I'm going to, stay here for a while. see where this goes. You know, I'll leave you voicemails or whatever, give you updates, because I know you're like, you're waiting to, for like me to get back there to the studio and start doing bits and stuff, but
yeah.
Oh no, I got a good thing with, what did I say her name was? It's not Jane. It's definitely not Jane. Something else, you know, to protect her identity or whatnot. So anyway, yeah, Jesus, I'll check in with you and like give you updates or whatever with me and whatever I said her name was before. That's not Jane. This is something else. So you know, yeah, go think about that, Jesus, and fuck you, you know.
So there you go. That's St. Peter, what he's up to. His shenanigans with him and not Jane in Tennessee somewhere in a nursing home. I don't know. Yes, Peter, you're listening. I'm waiting with bated breath for you to get back here to do dumb lists and shit. And fucking stupid poems. That's what the show's missing. More St. Peter. That's the problem. There's not enough St. Peter. By the way, if you want to interact with the show, I should do that up front, but I forgot. At StonerJesus420 on Twitter. StonerJesus420 Gmail. That's the email address. We're on Facebook as well. Search Disciples of Stoner Jesus on Facebook to join our hardcore group for the show, all the hardcore fans. They chill out there. Disciples of Stoner Jesus on Facebook. I see we got some weed news coming up. See, I didn't fix that either. Had to add. Damn it. I knew I was forgetting something. Anyway, I'll take care of it. You guys don't worry about it. Stoner Jesus Show, chapter 1, verse 11. Free audio, of course, on stonerjesus.net. If you want the video version of the show, go to patreon.com/stonerjesus420. Only $5 a month, get all the chapter and verse versions of the show. Help me spread the truth about cannabis through comedy. Yo, we'll be back.
The Stoner Jesus Show on cannabisradio.com.
Have you heard of GreenGonDetox.com? A team of pharmacists has collaborated for over 2 years to create a new solution for your cannabis detox needs. The only product designed by pharmacists to specifically support the elimination of cannabis metabolites found in urine. The product is called GreenGon, and our results have been absolutely incredible. All detox kits come with a money-back guarantee and free shipping. Get clean. Get GreenGon. That's GreenGonDetox.com. Use the discount code TRYIT to get 20% off your entire order. That's TRYIT, all one word. Still not convinced? How about free overnight shipping when you spend $60 or more? That's GreenGonDetox.com for your marijuana detox needs.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
The Stoner Jesus Show is brought to you in part by Hemptations.com and PlanetEverywhere.com. They got a lot of awesome stuff for you to check out. But don't just take my word for it. Let Beach, the owner of Hemptations, tell you all about it.
It's a very large selection of hemp goods, everything from reusable coffee filters to frisbees, bandanas, everything. Planted Everywhere on the site is made in Cincinnati, Ohio, made locally. We also have other retail products from our cosmetics, earthly body product, bags on the retail site. You know, again, anybody local in Cincinnati can go to Hemptations.com and get the info on the stores. Planted Everywhere is our .com is our retail site. You can can hit me up on Hemptation Beach or like my Facebook page, Hemptations or Hemptations 2. I'm on Twitter, Google, I'm on the internet everywhere, just like everyone. You know, we love to hear from people all over the world, positive things about industrial hemp. That's what I do. That's what we do. Largest selection of industrial hemp on the planet in the stores. And I'd like to grow that inventory to be able to say that I haven't actually checked out all the other hemp retail spots to see if we have the largest amount on our planet everywhere. But it's a fair selection.
And as Beach always says,
having temptations.
Hello, my children. Stoner Jesus here to tell you about Queen City Hemp. Support for the Stoner Jesus Show comes from Queen City Hemp, a full-spectrum high CBD oil with no artificial ingredients. That's what you can find there. It's available in tinctures, vapey liquids, and topical salves across the Midwest. Many retailers. Find your alternative with Queen City Hemp. For more information, including third-party test results for every batch, go to queencityhemp.com or simply click that Queen City Hemp banner on stonerjesus.net.
Are you disturbed by the prescription medication commercials on television and their endless list of side effects? They go on, and you end up having to take multiple pills to counteract the problems caused by the first pill. It never ends. Have you looked into CBD as a more natural option? At Saturn Ranch, we produce all-natural CBD topicals and THC-infused edibles. Premium lab-tested hemp-derived CBD is the most important ingredient in our products. From topical balms, salt scrubs, bath-soaking salts to tinctures and edibles, you're sure to find something to help. Family-owned and operated, we at Saturn Ranch believe in and use our products daily. Don't put anything on your body that you wouldn't put in your body. SaturnRanch.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, here's cannabis news coverage you can count on. From the Stoner Jesus Show's Cannabis Radio Newsroom, inside the rectory, this is Weed News.
Hell yeah, it's Weed News. Stoner Jesus Show, Chapter 1, Verse 11, September 23rd, 2017. We got our Weed News from Cannabis Tweets on Twitter. That's Cannabis Tweets with a Z. And also from the stories I write for the Marijuana Times. That's marijuanatimes.org. Go check those out. Of course, as always, there's a lot of stuff going on in the cannabis community. We bring it all to you, as they say. Stories from Leafly.com. Cannabis jobs count. Legal marijuana supports 149,304 Americans. And I know what you're saying, but it's really specific and really precise. Well, it's, you know, it's an amalgamation, it's an estimate, whatever. When asked that question, how many jobs are supported by legal cannabis, last year, nobody could tell us. The few estimates we found, this is the people at Leafly, seemed untethered to any actual sales figures because of the Schedule I status of cannabis. State and federal labor statisticians, rough. State and federal labor statisticians had no way to count the jobs. So Leafly set about to find the number themselves. Last year, they found 122,814 jobs, relied on the legal status of cannabis in America. This year, they found that number was 149,304. That's an increase of 22% in 1 year. According to their estimates or whatever, in 12 months, the legal cannabis industry added over 26,000 jobs to the nation's workforce. They come about these numbers by digging into the work of leading cannabis economists. They devised a method that roughly translated annual jobs into full-time equivalent jobs. And there's a link on Leafly if you want to go find a full explanation of the method if you're into that sort of thing. Of course, not every job in the industry is a full-time gig. So these figures are FTE jobs, in which two half-time jobs equals one FTE. Also, it's worth noting that these are jobs supported by legal cannabis. Not everyone who every one of these jobs touches the plants. It includes lawyers who advise business owners, electricians who consult on grow operations, hydroponic farming supply houses, insurance brokers, software developers, realtors who specialize in commercial real estate. The list goes on. So you can see why it's an estimate, obviously. But the important point is this. Those who support legalization for many, many years have been saying, of which I am one, have been saying it's going to add a lot of jobs. Obviously, if you take a product that already has a great demand among people, among the populace, millions and millions of stoners everywhere, bring that out of the black market and into the light of truth and legality or whatever, it's going to create a lot of jobs. And it's a continued selling point. And cannabis jobs is broken down by state also in this Leafly piece. You see right there, if you have the video version of the show, which you can find, of course, on patreon.com/stonerjesus420. They have the adult use states, medical cannabis states, like over 26,000 jobs in Washington state, 47,000 in California, which is about ready to become a lot more, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of jobs in California alone. Oregon, a little over 10,000. Colorado, almost 27,000. On and on. And as I said, down into the medical states, 12,000 jobs in Michigan, over 1,000 New Mexico, over 1,000 New York State. And they go into the breakdown of the sales and all that stuff. It's a really good piece up on Leafly. Just go to leafly.com, search cannabis jobs counter, find the link up on cannabis tweets on the Twitter. Let's go over to marijuanatimes.org, who I write for. Story out of Massachusetts. Massachusetts voters approve of legalization, but they're afraid officials will screw it up. There's a poll commissioned by the Boston Herald. 63% of those polled, it was 600 registered voters earlier in September, 63% said they support marijuana legalization, while only 34% said that they are opposed. Among the people who voted to legalize marijuana last year, 95% of them say they would do it again. But here's the thing. The same people they polled, 42% said they're not confident that the state can safely and fairly regulate legal sales. In other words, they approve of legalization, but they think the state government of Massachusetts is going to fuck it up for various reasons. One of those reasons is there's already been delays. The start of retail sales has already been delayed 6 months. A lot of things have been changed from the original bill altered by the Massachusetts state legislature. 82% of voters, for instance, think cities and towns should be able to decide whether marijuana sales are allowed locally. Under the original measure, if your town wanted to enact a moratorium on retail sales, you have to vote on a referendum. The people would. That was changed by the state legislature to say that just like the city council or local officials can make that decision. 82% of people in Massachusetts disagree with that, but they did it anyway. Add that to the fact that four of the five people appointed to the new Cannabis Control Commission were against the legalization measure that was passed last year. So now they're in charge. Four of the five are against it. So you add all that up, plus they raised taxes above what the measure called for. People don't trust that the state government's going to do it and do it well and do it fairly and in any kind of timely manner, because they've already showed they're not going to. One of the first things they did when there was hardly anybody there over the holiday break, right after the measure passed last year, a handful of legislators decided, well, no, we're not going to do January 2018 for the start of sales. We're going to push it to July of 2018. So that's what they did. As I said, they've altered the measure in many areas. And people know that. And as I said so many times, I'm going to keep saying it because it cannot be said enough. Yes, people who favor prohibition, they are our enemies in this. But so are the people, many of the people who are in charge of implementing these measures after they are passed. Once legalization is passed, that's not the end of the road. We're going to have to keep fighting to improve the legalization because restrictions, regulations, rules, taxes, they're all going to be piled on top. We have to fight through all that shit to get any kind of decent legislation or legalization. We can't just sit back and say, well, now that's good. It's better than prohibition. So this is what we're going to settle for. We can't settle. I'm going to be here fighting long after legalization is supposedly a done deal to make it better. And hopefully you all will too. I'll be here doing it to it, as the kids say. You can go check that story out on marijuanatimes.org. As I said, a lot of other stories up there with the Justice Department number 2 had to say about marijuana legalization. But I want to talk about this one. It's from PhoenixNewTimes.com. Arizona DCS to medical marijuana patients. We don't want you as a foster parent. It's a rather long story, but basically anyone in Arizona who's a medical marijuana patient and has medical marijuana, they're not welcome as a foster parent. Even though, according to the State Department of Child Services, there's more than 18,000 children in out-of-home placements last year, with about 6,500 with licensed foster parents and another 7,500 in kinship placements. The Arizona Children's Association says there is a, quote, critical need, end quote, for more foster parents. This woman, who's a lawyer, she got a medical marijuana license for her child, which she never ended up using, or using it for a little bit, but it didn't work. So they stopped using it. They told her she couldn't have a foster kid or bring in a foster kid because of the medical marijuana. And like I said, the story's just a whole long thing about it. But the DCS, on September 7th, they updated their policy regarding medical marijuana and foster care licensing. And that was the day that the New Times contacted the agency about it. DCS spokesman Darren Duranko said the agency has had an anti-marijuana policy in place since 2011 that prohibits it from issuing foster care licenses to anyone who uses or possesses marijuana. Duranko said the DCS does not ban prospective foster care parents who have state-issued medical marijuana cards, just the parents who actually use or possess medical marijuana and its extracts. So in a time when foster kids need foster parents, if your foster parent has a prescription or you drink a lot of alcohol, that's not going to automatically disqualify you from getting one of these kids. But if you're a lawyer or someone, anyone really, who has a state legal medical marijuana card, and you use or possess medical marijuana legally in your state, now, you know, go away. Go away. You get no kids today or ever. Other stories up on Cannabis Tweets that you can check out. On Demand Cannabis, California becoming a hotspot for weed delivery and e-commerce. This is the wave of the future, weed delivery, ordering off an app or a website or whatever, much as it is the future of everything else. There's also a video up here that we can check out. Parents explain why they smoke weed. Let me bring up the audio for those of you chilling with the audio version.
If I smoke weed when I'm a teenager, what do you think?
This is from Cut on YouTube. You can search YouTube. Parents explain why they smoke weed.
Well, I can't be a hypocrite because I smoked when I was a teenager, but I hope that you don't follow my steps. And what?
That's problem number one. No matter what the fuck you did as a teenager, it doesn't matter. You can't say, oh, well, I fucking knocked over a liquor store, you know, when I was a kid, so I really can't bail out that too much. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be a hypocrite. Yeah, you can. Don't knock over a fucking liquor store, you dumb kids.
Do you know what we're going to talk about?
Not so much.
Not really. Do you know what drugs are? Yeah.
The kid's got a look on his face like he knows what drugs are and he likes them.
It's a bad thing for people to have.
It's a bad thing for people to have.
Some drugs can be very bad if you don't need to take them and you do, or if you take too much of them.
They can do bad stuff when they do that. They get in fights a lot. They can go to jail.
Some of them can really hurt your body. So we have to be real careful what drugs we use and when we use them. What drugs do you know about? It's okay, you can say it.
What drug is that? I want to try some
weed.
Have you heard of marijuana?
Weed.
Marijuana? Or what some people call weed?
pot, ganja, Mary Jane, the chiba?
No. It's a big plant that they grow.
That kid don't know about weed. Fucking square.
And they roll it in like a little cigarette,
a little green.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Have you ever seen people smoking?
Yeah, you've seen it.
When it was a winter time and it was so cold.
You saw someone smoking in the winter time?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
That it was very cool.
You thought it was very cool?
Mm-hmm. Just like it was so much smoke.
Yeah, that kid knows. He saw someone smoking some weed. He's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, son.
You do it? No.
I do.
I've actually tried it, you know, probably 4 or 5 times over the last
a day,
several years, marijuana. That okay?
No.
You've been holding out on me, Mom? You've been blazing up and didn't tell me?
Oh.
Why did you do it?
I wanted to feel a little different, sort of like having a glass of wine. Why do people have a glass of wine after dinner?
I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes life gets stressful, right? Mm. Sometimes we all have a hard time.
When I get up in the morning, I feel this panic. Sometimes, like, oh, you felt that feeling before, right? You get, like, that nervousness. And when I smoke, it helps me calm down and be like, oh, okay, I can think about my day and, like, figure it out.
Not everybody who uses marijuana smokes it. Some people eat it.
Do you eat this plant?
Sometimes I eat this plant, yeah.
Does it taste yummy?
Well, the plant doesn't taste yummy, but sometimes, you mix it with other things to make it taste better.
How does it make you feel?
More relaxed. You just, you're like mellow. And you want to have some Doritos.
Sometimes it makes me hungry.
That's a good explanation. Makes you mellow and you want Doritos.
The plant makes you hungry. How can a plant make you hungry?
Well, to be honest...
How can a plant make you hungry? He's trying to explain it to you, kid. Just shut up for a minute.
Honest with you, I don't really know why it makes you hungry.
Do I seem different?
Good answer.
Different when I've been smoking?
I don't think so, because you've been smoking a lot.
Hard to tell.
It makes you...
makes me what?
Trippy.
Trippy.
Like your vision trippy. Like when you wave your hand, it kills like it goes like an echo.
Like you see the hand like...
uh-huh.
Okay.
No, never experienced that.
Yeah, it doesn't do that. It doesn't affect my vision at all.
Is it fun?
Yeah, we had a...
Damn right.
We had a good time. Recently, I was with a couple of friends and we...
went to a Phish concert, fucking Blaze Mass Dubes. It was great. Great night.
Smoked a little and... chatted and we had a nice time.
You were in trouble. Tonight's good.
Bitch, don't tell me what I am. I'm the parent. You're the kid. You're in trouble for saying that. What do you think of that? I'm not in trouble. You're in trouble.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Or maybe a teenager.
No, especially not when you're a teenager.
When I'm 30.
Okay, when you're 30. That's fair. I like that.
Actually, 41.
41?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So you have to be 21 legally to smoke marijuana in Washington.
How about in Mexico?
I'm not sure.
When did you first...
What's he going to do, go to Mexico and smoke weed?
Just try it.
Like 2 years ago. I was, I think, about 14.
14?
Mm-hmm. Four. I know, it's way too young.
People got some judgmental kids.
Do that.
How? Why would Grandma let you?
Grandma didn't know. I was being sneaky.
I'm
mad. What? He's mad at me because I said I smoked weed as a teenager.
Now he left.
When your brain is all developed, when you're an adult, it'll be okay for you to try it.
For younger people with smaller bodies, using drugs is not safe or healthy.
Is it healthy for you to do it?
Well, it wouldn't be healthy if I did it all the time.
It can make it so you never want to leave the house or never want to go to work. So you have to be careful to use it in a balanced way.
Do you think that drugs are something you're going to do when you grow up?
No.
Why won't you do drugs? Why do you think that you immediately said no?
Because I know it's bad.
Everybody makes mistakes when they're a teenager. Everybody does. And you're going to make mistakes too. And guess what?
These fucking kids are annoying. No wonder their parents smoke so much goddamn weed. Jesus Christ. The judgmental little fucks. I've never gotten this notion where, well, we can't tell our kids not to do something if adults do it. Sure we can. We tell them all the time they can't buy cigarettes, they can't buy beer, they can't go to war, they can't vote on anything, they can't sign a contract or give any kind of consent legally. We tell fucking kids all the time, no, adults do that, you can't do that. Anyway, go to break. Go check out our sponsors on stonerjesus.net. They support us, so go support them. It's great products, just all kinds of great shit. Just click their banners on stonerjesus.net. Talking about healthcare a little bit. Coming up, this is something you need to know. I know, a lot of you are saying, oh, politics, oh, fuck. This is important. This is fucking important. Whether you have healthcare insurance, you don't have healthcare insurance, you don't need healthcare insurance, you need a lot of it, it's important for everybody listening. Even people that aren't born yet, because they're going to be paying for this decades down the road if people like Bernie Sanders get their way. So we'll talk about that coming up. Stoner Jesus Show, Chapter 1, Verse 11. If you want the video version of the show and you're not watching the video version of the show, you should be. You, I'm talking to you. Check out patreon.com/stonerjesus420. That is where you can find that shit. Yo.
The Stoner Jesus Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hello, my children. Stoner Jesus here to tell you about another great sponsor of the Stoner Jesus Show, NextBardo.com. Check out that headshot banner on stonerjesus.net. They don't have just glass. They have a full line of smoking products, including wood pipes, metal pipes, roll-your-own supplies, pouches, storage, grinders, dab rigs, water pipes, vaporizers, and more. An amazing variety. Check out NextBardo.com. That's NextBardo.com. Or simply click their banner on stonerjesus.net to check them out. There's free shipping on all domestic orders over $20. And free shipping and a free gift with orders over $50. They offer worldwide shipping. Make sure you use discount code STONERJESUS. That's all one word, STONERJESUS, to get 10% off your first order at nextbardo.com. 21 and older, please. Click that headshot banner on stonerjesus.net. Make sure you use discount code STONERJESUS. Stoner Jesus, all one word, and get 10% off your first order at Next Bardo. Check them out, another awesome sponsor of the Stoner Jesus Show.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio, on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
Hello, my children. Stoner Jesus here to tell you about Queen City Hemp. Support for the Stoner Jesus Show comes from Queen City Hemp, a full-spectrum high CBD oil with no artificial ingredients. That's what you can find there. It's available in tinctures, vapey liquids, and topical salves across the Midwest. Many retailers. Find your alternative with Queen City Hemp. For more information, including third-party test results for every batch, go to queencityhemp.com or simply click that Queen City Hemp banner on stonerjesus.net.
Yo, 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 this your boy TJ, Trinidad James. You're listening to Dr. Dina on Cannabis Confidential. LA, what up?
Nickname James, man. I'm worried like.
People were so excited to see you supporting our industry, and it's so important to see people who are mainstream, who are out there, that people look up to.
That was my first one ever going to, so that was definitely a big deal for me. It's not just, oh, man, just come smoke a bunch of joints. It's a lot of science into it. It's way more interesting than a lot of people might think would look down, per se, on what we enjoy.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Have you heard of GreenGonDetox.com? A team of pharmacists has collaborated for over 2 years to create a new solution for your cannabis detox needs. The only product designed by pharmacists to specifically support the elimination of cannabis metabolites found in urine. The product is called GreenGon, and our results have been absolutely incredible. All detox kits come with a money-back guarantee and free shipping. Get clean. Get Green Gone. That's greengonedetox.com. Use the discount code TRYIT to get 20% off your entire order. That's TRYIT. All one word. Still not convinced? How about free overnight shipping when you spend $60 or more? That's greengonedetox.com for your marijuana detox needs.
Cannabis legalization efforts are increasing competition for businesses wanting to make it big. In this complex and fast-changing environment, only the savviest will survive. What are you going to do to stay ahead of the game? Enter New Frontier's free platform, Equio, the premier business intelligence, visualization, and marketing platform for the cannabis industry. With Equio, you can stay on top of your store sales, trends, and competition, better understand your seasonality and broader sales trends, identify and compare your top products and categories, and cross-buying opportunities. Go to www.equio.io to sign up for your free membership today. That's EQUIO.io to sign up now. The power of real-time big data is now in your hands. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You're going to be a
great granddad.
Pretty cool.
Morgan is Ray Dawn's son. Morgan and his wife Tracy, they've been trying to have a baby for quite some time. Did you hear what I said to Morgan?
What?
Do you know who the father is?
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Stoner and Jesus Show, Chapter 1, Verse 11. For those of you listening in the audio version on stonerandjesus.net or cannabisradio.com or one of our many other platforms, welcome. If you want the video version of the show, go to patreon.com/stonerjesus420. Become a patron of the show, patreon.com/stonerjesus420. Go check that shit out. Now we're going to talk about healthcare. Not only are we going to talk about healthcare, but also supply and demand, because the two are inexorably linked. It's the first thing people don't get about healthcare. Well, many things people don't get about healthcare. That's one of them. In any case, here's where we're going to start. I have 2 points to make. The first one's short, and this is an equivalency that people, something that people equate online and social media all the time. If you don't want the government to control healthcare and the healthcare industry, that does not mean you don't want people to have health care. That's where 70% of the arguments about this I see start from. For people who advocate for things like single-payer health care, they say, well, if you don't want single-payer health care, if you want the government to control it, that means you don't want people to have health care. You want people to die. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. And if the person you're arguing with about this starts from there, they're full of shit. They're not interested in having a debate with you. They're not interested in having a discussion with you. They're interested in telling you that you want people to die if you don't want the government to take over healthcare. And it's bullshit. Here's the second thing that people don't understand. Now, I'm going to go into a couple articles here and some audio. Soon, people don't understand supply and demand and how it works in healthcare. People like to pretend that because healthcare is a quote-unquote necessity, the rules of supply and demand don't function. You've seen these people. They say, oh, well, it can't be a for-profit thing because that's what makes it bad. That's what makes it bad. All these other countries don't have that, and their healthcare is good, which we'll get into in a minute, the bullshit of that. But the reasoning that they go through is, well, it's for-profit, so that's what makes it bad. So we can't have we take the profit out of it. That'll make it good. That's a simplistic fucking mindset of a lot of people who look at this issue. Healthcare, just like education, which some people say necessity, is a necessity. Food is definitely a necessity. Clothing, shelter, all these things work in the free market. All necessities. All for-profit enterprises. And that's how we get the abundance that we get of all of those things. But somehow they say healthcare doesn't work that way. They like to say education doesn't work that way either. Why? I don't know. What exemption healthcare and education got from the laws of supply and demand, I don't know. Because I don't think they got any. Because they didn't. What's the problem with healthcare? It's too fucking expensive. Clearly. It's too expensive. That is the sole fucking problem with healthcare. There's real other complaints about American healthcare, but it's too much. Everything else is great. It's too much. It costs too much. There's only two ways. And again, we're throughout all this when we follow the laws of supply and demand, because you have to. Again, if you're arguing with someone and they want to exempt healthcare from the laws of supply and demand, they're not coming at you from an honest place. They don't want to debate you. They want to use emotion to browbeat you into saying, yeah, everybody should have free healthcare. Here's how supply and demand works. There's only two ways to lower the price of something. You can reduce demand somehow. I don't know, incentivize people to eat better. It's difficult, especially in healthcare. It's difficult. Tell people, well, if it's not really bad, if you're not really sick, don't go to the doctor. It's hard in healthcare to lower that demand part. Of course, we've been subsidizing that demand for about 60 years now. We'll get into that in a minute. So what's the other way? Increase supply. Those two things, or a combination of those two things, the only way to lower costs, to lower prices. Either reduce demand or increase supply. Making government in control of healthcare does neither of those things. In fact, saying everybody has free healthcare will do what Medicaid and Medicare and all of these other subsidies have been doing for decades now, increasing demand. You want to know why healthcare is so expensive? That's one side of it. We've been subsidizing the demand for healthcare in this country with taxpayer money for decades. It's the same reason college tuition's way up. People have so many student loans. The government decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start subsidizing demand for college and make more people go to college. Costs went up. We're going to subsidize people to be able to go to the doctor and the hospital whenever they feel like it. Demand went up. Costs went up. That's how it works. Now, the other side of this equation, of course, in healthcare is supply. Now, if supply had kept pace with demand, costs wouldn't have gone up. But they have not. That's where this Mises Institute article comes in. It's from 2011, but it all stands because it goes through the history of how the supply, or part of the history. There's other rules with fucking hospitals and just, I mean, it's almost impossible to get into the medical profession. Let's put it that way. Most people believe that our healthcare industry is one compromised of free markets, but it's anything but. To start with, the American Medical Association has had a government-grade monopoly on the healthcare system for over 100 years. It has intentionally restricted the number of doctors allowed to practice medicine so as to raise physician incomes artificially. The primary way it does this is by using the coercive power of the state to restrict the number of approved medical schools in operation. After the AMA created its Council of Medical Education in 1904, state medical boards complied with the AMA's recommendation to close down medical schools. Within 3 years, 25 schools have been shut down, and the number of students at the remaining schools was reduced by 50%. After 3 more years, 10 more schools were closed. Since that time, the U.S. population has increased by 284%, while the number of medical schools has declined by 26%. You're subsidizing the demand for healthcare while at the same time strangling the supply. And then when costs fucking goes through the roof, everybody's like, what happened? What happened? Why is everything so expensive? I don't understand. You don't understand supply and demand. You really should. I'm not being condescending. I'm not being sarcastic. If you want to know about these things and why what is happening, it's a simple concept of supply and demand. In 1996, the peak year for applications, only 16,500 candidates were accepted out of 47,000. While high rejection rates can be common in many schools, applicants to medical schools are usually among the brightest and highest quality students and have put themselves through a very costly admission process. In other words, you might be saying to yourself, oh, well, yeah, we have to restrict the number of doctors because not everybody can be a doctor. Well, the people who go through all the fucking trouble to be a doctor, they're not some dum-dum who just walked off the street and said, you know what I want to do? I've been pushing carts at Target, but now I want to be a doctor. Give me a fucking stethoscope. Stat. No, the people who are attempting to become doctors are among the most qualified to be doctors. The MA also has a monopoly over the state boards, which issue licenses. A physician can practice only by having a state license. Licenses, of course, in general exist primarily to prevent competition. Each state has licensing boards consisting of AMA members who decide which applicants, according to them, are competent and morally fit. In other words, for years, and like I said, there's other rules where you have to get a hospital's permission to practice medicine in that area. And why would they increase their own competition? There's no competition. There's no price comparison. There's nothing like that in healthcare. Supply has been restricted. Demand's been subsidized. Costs go up. That's what happened. If you want to lower cost, you have to stop. Stop subsidizing demand. That's not going to happen, though. The only other thing you can do is increase supply, increase competition to lower costs. It's the only thing remaining. I know what you're saying. Oh, but this country and this country and this country does it, and this country has universal health care, and this one does, and this one does, and this one does. And we're the only one that doesn't. Horse shit. We'll get into that in a couple minutes about how, you know, all these countries with universal health care, it's not so universal. Again, because of supply and demand. But let's move on to something else from Mises and from the Mises Library, Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S. This is Peter G. Klein from 2014 explained how healthcare would work if it functioned in a free market. Get the sound up here.
A big issue in the last few weeks in the U.S. has been Obamacare, in particular the disastrous rollout of healthcare.
And again, the first little bit, the first 20 or 30 seconds or 40 or 50 or whatever, he devotes to Obamacare. It was big in the news then. But what he says about the free market healthcare and how it would work, because of supply and demand again, stands. Let's check out some of it.
Gov, the website where consumers are supposedly able to pick out new plans on the government-sponsored insurance exchanges. Moreover, it was revealed last week that many consumers, contrary to the president's explicit statements, were going to lose the health care coverage they already had and were quite satisfied with. But I want to talk about something more fundamental about the health care system in the U.S. and the economics of health care more generally. Why are we so worried about health care and health care costs? Why does the government spend so much time trying to deal with health insurance markets, much more than it spends dealing with other kinds of markets? What is unique or special about healthcare? Well, it's true that in the United States, healthcare expenditures are really high. The U.S. Spends more on healthcare per capita than many comparable countries, and the service level doesn't seem to be especially high. That's both because the prices of many healthcare services are higher than they are around the world, and the quantity consumed by Americans is also quite high. What do we do about it? Both the president's defenders and his Republican critics all seem to agree that there is something special about healthcare markets and health insurance markets. Something is wrong with the healthcare system in the U.S., and something has to be done about it. Now, from a fundamental economics point of view, what is healthcare exactly? One of the things that's particularly frustrating for me as an economist thinking about healthcare and following these debates is this notion that healthcare is some kind of a unique good or service that everybody needs, everybody wants, but cannot be provided by the market the way the market provides shoes or tomatoes or automobiles or any other good. But what is healthcare? Nobody consumes healthcare. No one has a right to healthcare, because healthcare is not a homogeneous thing. There's no such thing as one unit of healthcare. Rather, what we mean by healthcare and insurance for healthcare is a discrete set of specific commodities, goods and services that you can buy in different combinations, at different levels, of different quality levels. So open heart surgery is a service you can purchase on the market that contributes to your health, but so is taking an aspirin, so are diet and nutrition. Taking a walk in the woods is good for your health. In other words, there's no such thing as healthcare. There is a heterogeneous bundle of different goods and services that different individuals will want to consume at different levels. Likewise, if we say everyone has a right to housing, what does that mean exactly? It doesn't mean everybody gets a mansion in Beverly Hills or a penthouse on Fifth Avenue. No, there are lots of different kinds of housing. There's long-term, there's short-term, there's regular housing, there's vacation housing. Some people own homes and condos, other people rent, students live in dormitories, people stay in hotels, that's a kind of housing. It's a there's a huge variety of different kinds of things that go into housing. And it's the same thing with healthcare. So instead of talking about a universal right to healthcare, we should be talking about the specific healthcare goods and services that individuals want to buy. Now, when we think about it this way, it becomes far from obvious that these particular kinds of goods and services, getting surgery, having a consultation with a physician, putting a Band-Aid on your leg, that these goods and services cannot be supplied on the market, just like any other goods and services can.
Of course, I'm going to stop right here. What most single-payer people, when they say healthcare, they mean everything covered. No matter what it is, no matter what time it is, every single thing needs to be covered. And they forget that healthcare is not an abstract thing. It's doctors and nurses and buildings and equipment and the janitors who clean all that stuff and people who keep it sterile and nurse practitioners and medical billing data entry experts, all of that. All these people that have put time and money into becoming what they were and deserve compensation for that. Well, when the market, again, back to supply and demand, when the government sets a price below market value, below the equilibrium price that the market would come to, it creates shortages. Again, we'll talk about the so-called great universal healthcare in other countries here in a minute, but listen to Peter for a couple more minutes.
...be supplied on the market. Now, among economists, there's a feeling that, well, healthcare goods and services are different somehow because of uncertainty. The patient is not in a position to judge the quality of the surgery until after it's taken place, and the consumer simply doesn't have enough information about the characteristics of the surgeon, the quality of the procedures, and so forth. One of the most influential articles in mainstream welfare economics is on this very topic by Kenneth Arrow in 1963. Arrow argued that healthcare cannot be supplied efficiently on the market because of this asymmetric information. But if you think about it, the market provides all kinds of goods and services where one party doesn't have as much information as the other party. Right? Buying a used car, you don't know the quality of the car as the buyer as well as the seller. Firms hire workers without knowing for sure if the workers are going to turn out to be as productive, as effective in the workplace as the employer is hoping. So there's no such thing as perfectly distributed or perfectly symmetric information in any market transaction, nor does this asymmetry pose a unique problem. Competition among providers, third-party intermediaries such as ratings agencies and magazines and encyclopedias, warranties and guarantees and other kinds of contracts all help to protect people when they're engaged in transactions in which they don't know as much about what's being sold as the other party. So there's nothing really unique about a surgical procedure or a type of medicine or a therapeutic routine in this regard. It's just an ordinary market transaction like other ordinary market transactions. If we would just allow the free market to work, if we could eliminate the third-party payer system, the government subsidies on the expenditure side that drive prices up, there's no reason why a truly free market in healthcare goods and services couldn't be just as effective in the U.S. as the market for computers, the market for software, the market for automobiles, or the market for anything else.
And again, it's because nothing that is not of unlimited use or unlimited supply. Like, obviously, supply and demand doesn't work with air because air is unlimited. It's in the air. You breathe it in. You have to buy air. It's not scarce. Things are scarce. And different commodities, goods, services are not an unlimited amount. So the laws of supply and demand govern them. You can't get away from that. And the reason you can't get away from that is because when you try, we cause problems. Now, let's say a surgical procedure is $1,000. That's what it would cost. If that's what the market equilibrium is of that surgery, it's $1,000. Damn, there's a lot of shit popping up. Here we go. If the government says, well, that's going to cost you zero. It's going to cost you zero. The price is zero. They've capped the price below the market value. What's that cause? Shortages. You may have seen the Jimmy Kimmel speech, his back and forth about healthcare and all that shit the other night. Excuse me. And when he was doing his little speech, he had this to say. He said, I'll bring up the story for you as you listening or watching on video. Quote, somehow Japan and England and Canada and Germany, France, they all figured healthcare out. And don't say they have terrible healthcare because it's just not true. Okay. He says nothing to back that up. That they've, quote, figured healthcare out. And don't say they have terrible healthcare because it's just not true. First of all, we've talked about this before. Universal healthcare is not universal in these countries. Why is that? Because what happens when you cap the price below market price? Shortages. This will happen with every good, every service, every time. It happens. If a bottle of water is $2 and the government comes in and says from now on bottles of water are 50 cents, guess what's going to happen when you go to the store and look for water? There's not going to be any there. Start with Japan. McKinsey.com reported in 2009 about Japan. The conspicuous absence of a way to allocate medical resources, starting with doctors, in other words, prices, makes it harder and harder for patients to get the care they need when and where they need it. A vivid example, Japan's emergency rooms, which every year turn away tens of thousands who need care. So Jimmy Kimmel, Japan has it figured out. They turn away tens of thousands of people from the fucking emergency room. When's the last time you went to the emergency room in America and they told you to get lost? When does it happen? Exactly. Furthermore, the quality of care varies markedly. And many cost control measures implemented have actually damaged the system's cost effectiveness. Meanwhile, demand for care keeps rising because, of course, you know, people aren't paying for it. Japan Times added in February 2017, its rapidly aging society and shrinking ranks of premium paying workers, coupled with the arrival of new drugs and technology fetching phenomenal prices, are putting immense strains on the systems. On the system, experts say, making its sustainability uncertain. 1 million patients a week cannot get appointments with general practitioners. Amid the longest waiting times on record, new figures show. Doctors said they were working flat out but under unsustainable pressure, leaving worrying numbers of patients without any help. The NHS figures show the number waiting at least a week to see their general practitioner has risen 56% in 5 years, with one in five now waiting this long. In healthcare, how do shortages manifest themselves? And wait times. Wait times in the emergency room. Wait times to see a doctor. Wait times for a procedure. The pressures left 11.3% of patients unable to get an appointment at all. A 27% rise since 2012. They can't get an appointment with their doctor. 11% of people just can't do it. Is that universal? Is that universal? Ask the tens of thousands of people who have been not pushed away from the hospitals, the emergency rooms. Ask the 11% of people, they can't get a fucking appointment with a doctor ever. Is it universal? Of course, we've already talked about, Canada has universal coverage, but 70% of Canadians carry some type of private insurance. Why would they do that if it's universal? Why would they do that if everything's covered? Because everything's not covered. Massive wait times. Same thing in England. Let's continue with this is a DailyWire.com piece. Canada, a report according to the City Journal, in 2007, said more than 1.5 million Ontarians, or 12% of that province's populations, can't find family physicians. Is that universal? If 12% of the population can't find a doctor, is that universal? According to the Ottawa Citizen in 2017, the U.S.-based Commonwealth Fund, in conjunction with the Canadian Institute of Health Information, published results of his health policy survey of adults in Australia, Canada, France, Germany, and the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and the United States. The results indicate that Canada is not just lagging, but is literally scraping the bottom when it comes to indicators of timely access to health care. They were ranked worst for ability for same-day or next-day appointment when sick. They're second worst in the ability to get after-hours care without resorting to the emergency department. Wait for treatment in the emergency department, Canada, worst. Wait to see a specialist, worst. Wait for elective surgery, worst. But don't tell Jimmy Kimmel that that's terrible, that they rank worst in all these fucking areas, because it's just not true. Because Jimmy Kimmel knows. Even left-wing Politico said about Germany in October 2016, drug makers are pulling diabetes drugs from Germany, blaming government-set prices that don't let them recoup their investment. The health insurance rates charged by the Krankenkassen are 14.6% plus 1.1% medium supplemental premium of German's monthly salary. And lastly, in France, Bloomberg reported in 2013, the French government says the health system will fall 5.1 billion francs, I guess that is, short in 2013. 2014, a study published in Health Research Policy and Systems stated bluntly, quote, major public issues remain unresolved. These include the shortage of physicians and expensive equipment such as MRI and the unavailability of emergency services in many rural areas. None of this is universal. Single payer will not be universal in the United States because of these very problems. People will eventually be turned away from the emergency room. The time waits will get longer in the emergency rooms. The time waits to get a doctor will become longer. More and more people won't be able to find a doctor or get a doctor because people aren't going to become doctors. Because what's the fucking point of going to school for 10 years and doing all this other shit? And the government says, well, this is what you're going to get paid. This is what you're going to get paid. Doesn't matter what you do, how long you work. This is it. This is all we got. Some estimates are talking about tens of trillions of dollars for a single payer healthcare system. Expanding Medicaid to everybody. Medicaid, which is fucking hemorrhaging money. Go look it up. Google. Google it. Hemorrhaging fucking money. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. I guess it doesn't pass the Jimmy Kimmel test. Well, again, only way to lower healthcare costs, lower demand or increase supply or a combination of the two. That's it. The laws of supply and demand cannot be repealed. No matter what you think or what you feel. Yeah, I feel that everybody should have free health care. I feel that no one should ever be turned away for any reason to get their health care. But that's not the way it works. No, nothing the government does can make that so. Nothing those other governments have done, Japan or Canada, any of them. Hell, go look at Great Britain, which we already talked about then. They're the worst of all in many areas. Wait times for emergency rooms, wait times to find a doctor, to get a doctor, to see a doctor. I feel like everybody should have health care, but that's not the way it works. Single payer would just cause worse quality, a massive raise in taxes for everybody, and shortages. Shortages. When you set the price below market value, you get shortages always. Just like if you set it above market value. Like if cell phones average $500 and the government comes in and says, well, no, you can only buy a cell phone now for $2,000. Guess what? There's going to be a lot of cell phones left over. You're going to be able to go to a store and see a big row of those $2,000 cell phones untouched. It's supply and demand. It's, again, I know it comes across as condescending when I say just fucking go read about supply and demand. But seriously, go fucking read about supply and demand. Learn about it. Then you'll know what's going on in education, healthcare, any other industry, any other good, any other service. Works the same. It's my spiel. Thanks everybody for listening. Chapter 1, verse 11 of the Stoner Jesus Show. I want to talk about Cash Me Outside Girl, but we've run way long, so I'll move that to the next show because that's very important as well. Cash Me Outside Girl has, I don't know. I will say this. She's capitalizing on her 15 minutes of fame, that's for sure. A lot of people can't. But she is. As annoying as she is capitalizing on her 15 minutes of fame. We'll talk about that next time. StonerJesus.net for the show. Patreon.com. /NerdJesus420 for the video version of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, who spreads the word about stonerjesus.net and the show. Go check out our Periscope, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. We'll see you next time that we feel like doing a show, that I feel like doing a show. I'll do one. Till then, thanks, everybody, for listening. And as always, peace, bitches.
Free the weed.